Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Back to another episode of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. I'm so excited to be with you this week, and this week we're going to bring on an external guest, Dr. Caroline Tuttle, and we're going to talk about taking over a father's practice. We're going to talk about making changes, some of the positives and negatives that go with that, about getting clear about her vision, some of the marketing that she's doing in her practice, and some of the ups and downs that go along with that. But before we bring Caroline on, I'm going to turn it over to our advertiser-in-chief, which is going to be Meredith for our number one
Wait, every
sponsor.
Day I get a new title.
Yeah, I just make it up. You know how I feel about titles.
I don't really have a title, but I do have to tell everyone this. Okay. I was talking to someone on the phone the other day, and you, I kind of want to tell you this. And I said, you know, my email is meredith@3d-dentist.com. And she said, was that 3dprincesses.com? I was like, yes, it is.
We should get that. I'm gonna Google that, and I'm gonna own 3dprincesses.com, and I'm also gonna own 3ddrama.com.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there was some drama this morning. My sister called me and T-Bone says I'm drama, so 100%. I was the moderator, so I was not the drama today.
All right, we'll keep going along here while I go to Google Domains.
Oh, you're going to buy it right now.
Yeah,
so before we get started today, I have a few things. We have a review, and this is 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. So if you have not left us a review or on Google, please do. This one says, excellent content, relevant, knowledgeable, and current. Wow, they think you're trendy.
Ooh.
That's a first.
If they want to do a collab.
Yeah. Collaboration.
Damn it. 3dprincess.com is unavailable.
Oh, it's probably like a princess party group. All right. And then before we get into what's new for 2022, I do want to remind everyone that our Digital Implant Continuum Express has been a hit. Our guest today has attended it, so maybe she can touch on that for you. But we do have openings still available for November 15th through the 20th, and then February 28th through March 5th, 2022. And then I want to just mention, I feel like we don't talk about it enough. New for 2022 is our case acceptance boot camp.
Yeah.
This, I mean, you may want to add to this, but I think it's a great thing to bring your team to, stay at the retreat, have dinners, cook together, hang out, meet other doctors, your team, meet other team members, work together, breakouts.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. If you want to increase case acceptance, slow your practice down, do more of the dentistry you love, put together a framework and a process that is repeatable regardless of the type of dentistry you're doing, whether it's just more general dentistry, whether it's advanced dentistry, whether it's emotional dentistry. This is the foundational program that has really changed everything in my practice and the things I focused on for the last 20 years. So
I have a couple of dates for that. We have January 27th and 28th and June 23rd and 24th, 2022 at the Retreat in Raleigh.
It'll be great. It'll be a program that I put my heart and soul into. I look forward to having people join us.
Yeah,
so.
Well, let's get into today's episode with Dr. Caroline Tuttle.
Let's bring Caroline. Hey, Caroline, how are you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I'm good. You might have to center yourself a little bit. I mean, I know you're following the rules of thirds with your camera angle there, but that's okay.
Opposite side. There we go. Yeah.
So just so everybody knows, I always ask Caroline if she's from Philadelphia, even though
he texted me that the other day. We were looking for somebody needed a dentist in Philadelphia. He's like, "Isn't Caroline there?" I'm like, "No."
Close, but nope. New Jersey.
I know, because you fly out of Philadelphia every time you come see us, and I just assume, like, I hear the one, like, it's like if somebody says, if I mess up their name the first time, their name becomes
whatever it is. The
first time, and so now I associated Philadelphia as where'd you fly in from, and so now you practice in Philadelphia regardless.
Okay, whatever.
All right, so Caroline, let's get started, and let's talk a little bit about, give everybody, our listeners, a kind of a brief overview of where you're at in your practice, how you got where you're at, your father being a dentist and all of those things. Just kind of give us a brief overview of who is Caroline Tuttle.
Okay, so I finished dental school in 2016. I actually had a job prior to that. I was doing marketing for a bank, and then didn't like that, and I wanted to switch. But I had my dad's practice. I knew he wanted to retire, and I thought it would be really great to work with my dad. We have a great relationship, so that was a big proponent of me wanting to go to dental school. So I graduated in 2016 and became a dentist. So it's the quick version of it.
All right, so what was it like taking over or joining? Let me ask you this. Was it taking over your dad's practice or was it joining your dad's practice?
So my dad is the sweetest person you'd ever meet. Very type B. I'm very type A. So he let me just kind of do whatever I wanted, which was great. Within reason, obviously. But no, he was really excited for the energy that I brought. He got really excited about dentistry again. I think it added a few more years onto his career, to be honest. And so he kind of let me start running and changing things to make things more efficient in the office. So it was kind of a takeover.
What was his practice like when you walked in? Was it small? Was it fee for service? Was it insurance based? What kind of dentistry was he doing? And how has that changed in the 4 to 5 years that you've been with him?
So it was a basic general dentist office, lots of fillings, lots of single unit crowns, every now and then a big case, but those were few and far between. My dad loves general dentistry. Like, he loves doing fillings, which is not something I necessarily love to do, but, and it was busy, but there were definitely days that were, you know, slower and some were super crazy. So it was not consistent. They weren't block scheduling. And we were, he only took two insurances, but the rest was fee for service. We would submit, but we would submit insurance, but never participated in more than two.
Okay. And what if anything has changed in the last 4 or 5 years for you?
So, I don't know. There's a lot of changes. I don't even know where to start. Before I went to dental school, I told my dad I was quitting my job, and he was like, "What? I just got you and your brothers out of the house. How are you quitting?" And I said, I want to be a dentist, but I needed a job before I got into dental school. So I worked for him in his office and I converted everything to be paperless then. So that was in 2010. That was a big shock to everybody. So then once I got out of dental school, things were digital, but we weren't utilizing everything like auto notes and certain things like that. So that we implemented. And then honestly, from there, it kind of changed a lot in the last 2 years. We do block scheduling. The types of services we offer are more complex. We still do the bread and butter dentistry, but it's definitely a lot more complex dentistry too.
And when you say complex dentistry, is that is that something your dad has moved into, or is that something that you're doing in the practice? Where are these patients coming from?
So they're coming from our actual patient base. We do have new patients, but we're really averaging about 20 new patients a month. we were down to only one insurance. We're only taking Delta. And but they're mainly coming from our office. So I'm doing the complex dentistry. I took a lot of occlusion courses right out of school. I took an implant course at NYU. So I started taking courses, but I wanted, we'll get into it, I'm sure, but I needed to get more information and knowledge on some of that stuff. But I'm doing all the complex dentistry. My dad's still doing the fillings. He'll do some root canal still. But yeah,
okay.
I need an associate to replace him now.
No. Well, I think he is the, in a sense, he is the associate. But I brought that question up because, you know, selfishly, I know the answer to the question. But I want people to listen to that. I want to drive home a point in what Caroline just said. And that is within the patient base of her dad's practice, there was all this complex dentistry, all this potential sitting there. And Caroline unlocked that because she brought a different set of eyes, a different focus, and a different level of energy to the practice. Now, I want the solo dentists that are listening to understand that you don't have to necessarily market, and I would argue you shouldn't market some of these complex services until you tap into what's in your practice. So, Caroline, if you don't mind me asking, what kind of things did you do to get, you know, to unlock some of this complex dentistry that's in your practice?
I mean, I took a ton of CE. Like I said, I took some occlusion courses to start just to know and feel confident talking to the patients. So a lot of times, like I was like, I would have to tell people, so we need to do a full mouth rehab on you. But I wouldn't say it like that. I would just say, look, there's a lot of breakdown. There's things that we can do to prevent this from continuing happening, or we can fix it. And the confidence came from the courses I took. The more courses I take, the more comfortable I feel talking to patients about the treatment that's best for them. But the biggest question would be, well, your dad never said that to me. And I'm like, well, my dad's right here. We can talk to dad if you want. But, you know, we only know what we know on the last course we took, the newest stuff, and never would throw my father on the bus. He always wanted to take care of the patients and do what's best for them. And, you know, now we have more education on our side, and he took the courses with me. So it was really fun, but it was your confidence of the courses.
Okay. And what did, like, let me ask you this, okay? Is your dad okay with you doing the quote unquote fancy and sexy dentistry and him doing bread and butter dentistry? You know, has there been any struggle, you know, kind of that thing? And look, I want our listeners are going to say, oh, well, it's easier when it's a father, daughter, father, son, mother, daughter, whatever it is. But all of this stuff is no different than when you become an associate in a practice or you take over a non-family member's practice and the original owner sticks around a little bit. You know, how was that dynamic coming through all of this?
He's actually, I mean, it's not the typical situation. He's super proud of me and he loves that I'm doing this. So he gets jealous because he's like, you have so much technology on your side. Like if I had this technology, like I could have done so much more. And now he did implement CEREC back in 2003. So he kind of got me.
Yeah, that's like saying I carried a smartphone when I had a Motorola flip phone razor. I mean, it's not even the same.
But he's always enjoyed the technology, but he never took the extra steps to go forward because I think he was so stuck in how busy the practice was. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, the busy days versus the non-busy days. And it was just such a roller coaster. But no, the only times we kind of like get into it is when I want to change something and he's not ready to change. He's like, Caroline, I'm going to retire soon. Why are we like, really? And I'm like, Dad, you don't need to change. Don't worry. You stay the way you are with it. We're just, the rest of us are going to just make it work around you. You're fine.
And a semi-private question, and I can't remember the answer to this. Yeah. Do you own the practice?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. So you're 100% owner at this point?
Yep.
And how did that happen? Because did that happen right away? Did that take some time? What was that? What went through your head? Did you have some doubts about buying your father's practice or taking over your father's practice? I mean, I know in the Indian culture, I'm not paying my dad for anything, but that's yeah. unique maybe in our culture or our sure. particular situation.
Yeah, no. I bought the practice from my dad. I have two brothers. They've always said if I was an only child, they would have just given it to me, but I don't want to create fighting between my siblings for any reason down the road. So I did purchase the practice in 2020. So I graduated in 2017, so a few years after. But that was the plan all along. He always wanted to sell it to me. He gave me a good discount, but, you know, between that and the land, because he owned the land, I own it all now, but I needed a little help on figuring it all out. And that's one reason I did join the mastermind on getting it to where it is now, was a lot of help from you guys.
Okay. Well, now that you bring that up, let's kind of rewind time. Talk to us, what brought you to the mastermind? What brought you 3D Dentist? What struggles were you having? And let's kind of start there before we go into what you got out of it and all of that. Where were you at, and what made you do something like that?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
So, I was dating my now husband, and I had an hour.
You mean the Amazon driver? He's not an Amazon driver. Remember that one time we were doing the Zoom?
I know. That's because he gets mad at me for ordering Amazon.
And he walked in with
Join the club.
He walked in with the Amazon box, and I go, "What's the Amazon driver doing in your bedroom?" And so now I refer to him as the Amazon driver, but he is not an Amazon driver. I'm just.
He is not.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about that, but go ahead.
And so I had a long commute and I started listening to podcasts. I never listened to any podcast prior, but I was like, I need to do something with this commute. So I started listening to both you and Millennial Dentist. And I relate a lot to Sully because he took over his practice from his dad. He was trying to bring in new procedures and it was like an easy thing to listen to both. But I actually heard you back in 2011 or 12 at some kind of Sirona.
Oh, probably in Philadelphia or Princeton, one of the two.
My dad took me, and I think the story is interesting. My dad took me, and I met you, and we went to lunch after your course, and you kept saying you never have to do a buckle pit again. I was like, I didn't even know what a buckle pit really was at that point, but my dad just like kept laughing. But when we went to lunch, I sat down, and there were these other dentist colleagues of my dad that would say, I can't believe you would encourage her to go to dentistry. And my dad still loves dentistry to this day. And he's just like, why wouldn't I? And it was such a weird perception. But ever since that day, I was always like, I'm never going to do dentistry I don't love. So then I started listening to, going back to the podcast, I started listening to you guys. And then I was just like, all right, I'm taking over this practice. I need some help with just understanding the numbers, understanding what I'm getting into, have a little bit more concrete idea of some of this stuff. And yes, my dad taught me a lot of it, but I still wanted to like, I wanted somebody outside also so I could figure out how to get this practice from, I don't know what we're doing, about 1.1 then to like now we're close to 1.7, which is exciting.
Oh, great. So we were looking for a fresh perspective, some outside stuff. You kind of resonated with, you know, our story and what we talk about on the podcasts. So what was your experience in the mastermind like? And what did you kind of, what were some, a couple of key takeaways for you from that?
the fact that there were so many other people in the same position that I could relate to. A lot of my friends that are from dental school aren't buying yet or are just starting to look into it, but I knew I had to get there sooner. So it was nice to be around other people that were in the same position. Like, I still talk to a few people from our course on a regular basis. In our mastermind group, we still chat in it. And going through that, especially with COVID, was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, having each other.
Yeah, that's always a good part.
For sure. That was the biggest part.
Okay. And then I think you mentioned a lot about block scheduling and things like that. And I know that's an area that we try to put a lot of focus on with the mastermind is slowing down. And you said it a lot in your conversations. I don't know if other people are picking up on this, but you talked about your dad was busy. And he, you know, maybe he liked being busy, or that's all he knew, because in the 1980s and 90s, it was all about being busy. What type of block scheduling or scheduling concepts were in the practice beforehand, and what have you done to your scheduling?
Sorry.
What have you done to your schedule moving forward now?
So now we do new patient blocks, we do crown blocks, we do implant blocks. Block scheduling was just a very, I don't know what the word, it was, we didn't understand what it was. My dad had kept mentioning it to our office manager. We need to do block scheduling, but never explained how to do it because I don't think he truly knew how to do it. And when I went to the mastermind, I still didn't know how to do it. You guys really broke it down, and using one of your techniques with like trying to funnel, like, how many new patients you need or how many crowns you want or how many, like, based off of the production you want to get, was a great, that was probably, besides the camaraderie you get from the mastermind, breaking down how to figure out what your blocks are was so valuable.
So working because, backwards to hit your goals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was, I'm going to redo it. I have a meeting with two of my team members to go over what our blocks are going to be for next year and if we need to up some of them, which we do. And now I just have to find time for them.
Yeah. You know, Caroline, since you did the mastermind, we don't call it block scheduling anymore. We refer to it as priority scheduling. Because block scheduling has a 1990s and 2000s definition associated with it. And in the 1990s and 2000s, general dentists were literally, you know, their scope of services were so different than the scope of services we have today. And so really what you described is a perfect definition of priority scheduling. How many new patients do you, using these as examples, how many new patients do you want? You create, you prioritize the number of new patients and you create blocks for those. How many crowns do you need to do to service your customer base, to keep you happy, make your production, and you prioritize creating blocks for those. You prioritize how many implants. And implant blocks are reserved for implants. You know, full mouth blocks are reserved for large, complex cases. And that's prioritizing the type of dentistry you want to do. And that's really the difference between priority scheduling and block scheduling. Priority scheduling has blocks, but we want to prioritize the type of dentistry that we're doing. And what has been the outcome of this for your practice? Like, what have you seen come about from this?
It's just a more consistent day. I remember when we first started doing it, it wasn't as perfected as it's been. Mm-hmm. And there's still room to get it better. But when it first started, I remember there was one day I just had fillings all day. And I was like, I never want to do this again. And I just said it like that to the whole team. And a fear of mine was that everybody was going to be like, she doesn't want to work hard. You know, all this. I am such a pleaser. And so I want people to know I'm a hard worker, that I want to take care of the patients, but like, I don't want to take care of the patients when all I'm doing is solid fillings. And then the next day I have like crown, which was, those are great days. I would love that, but I want to mix. I want it to be a little more fluid. So once we started getting it there, I'm just less stressed. I have other stresses now, but in terms of being able to like have a more fluid day, and I'm also seeing that because there's blocks there, we have more incentive. Like the other day, I was like, when's our next new patient block? And they didn't know off the top of their head. They found out for me, but it's not until November. And I'm like, okay, that's not a good thing. So we got to either open some time or get some more people in here. So, yeah. I mean, okay. Good stuff.
Go ahead.
I think that the priority versus the block scheduling is works so much better in that perspective, because when people think block scheduling, they think it's a dollar amount. Mm-hmm. So if it's, you know, only $1,000, you could be doing $1,000 worth of fillings easily, but that's not your priority. And that's not doing the dentistry that you enjoy. So it's not helping your calls. I remember when we had blocks, you know, it used to be, for you, it was a different dollar amount than for the associate, but we could easily fill a $1,000 block with fillings.
Yeah.
And that wasn't priority.
Probably. That certainly didn't work for me.
No, but that's not and helping you to get where you want to enjoy the dentistry that you're doing either.
Exactly. And that's how I started it. And that's why I was like, this is our day, our goal for the day. And they got me there with fillings.
That's how you end up.
No, don't do that.
Exactly what I was thinking.
And that is such an important point is.
It's not always about the number.
Everything, for me, everything's a journey, right? And so when we take a chaos practice, okay, practice where the practice is running you, okay? The first step is, let's get to block scheduling and get productive. Okay, let's get productive. And the challenge I have is then dentists never get out of block scheduling and then never prioritize the dentistry they want to do. You have to create openings. Like I'm dealing with this right now in my practice. We had a lady come in the other day and she wants some cosmetic work done. Four teeth, eight teeth. I can't remember exactly how many it is. And we've overridden my blocks. We've gotten too many implant blocks that now I can't have a time to do some cosmetic work. So we're having to rework our priorities. And I think that's another thing that I hope everybody has picked up on, that you mentioned that you're working with your team already, and we're recording this in the middle of September, and you're already working with your team on what your priorities are for 2022. And that's so important because, you know, where you were in your career 2 years ago is not where you are today. And it's not going to be where you are 2 years from now. You know, at some point in time, you know, you're possibly going to, you know, have a bigger family or a family. You're not going to have a husband, like you mentioned, versus a fiance or a boyfriend. And all of these things reprioritize what we want to do, how much time we want to have, how much vacation we want to have, when we take our vacations. For me, that was a big change when my kids got into, you know, beyond being in kindergarten and grade school, where we could still take vacations when we wanted to. And now that they're in middle school and high school, now our vacations are dictated by when it's best for the kids in the school schedule. And all of these things, we have to relook at our priorities because our seasons of life are consistently changing. So talk to our listeners about what that means for you right now. You said, hey, I'm going to be looking at our 2022 schedule. What are some of the things that you're trying to change for next year?
Well, so this might go in a different direction, but I want to start a family. My husband and I are working on trying to start a family. And
practice, girl, practice. Let's put it in for him. Practice.
Yeah, there you go. But and so I'm actually trying to replace myself at a much younger age than I thought I would be. And I'm not trying to, I haven't done it yet. So that's something we can work on. But so that the business and the practice can run as well as it's running now, with more people, more doctors, so that I can still enjoy my family. So that's one big thing. And then the other big thing with planning for 2022 is, you know, just breaking down the things that I want to do the most. I love doing full mouth rehab for veneers and crowns. I love implants. And then, you know, maybe I'm going to start getting into more advanced things with implants, like full mouth implants. I'm not sure yet.
Sure.
But I'm getting closer to those goals. And the only way to do that is to put it in the schedule, which I've learned from you guys. And yeah, I mean, I have to like see what my numbers are right now. And that's what the meeting is at the end of September.
Yeah. And see, look, I want everybody to listen to that again. And I'm really not trying to be sexist here. Okay. But look, as a female dentist, your life situation is going to be different than most male dentists. Okay. Number one, yes, I can have a family, but I'm not carrying the thing around and I'm not, you know, having it come out of my body. And certainly, I mean, yes, I have a belly like every other pregnant person. I mean, what's worse for me is my belly. I'm pregnant nonstop.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away. But, you know, and see, I love that. I love that. I love that we've instilled that into you at such a young age in your career that you can look at that. The other thing that you mentioned is a concept that we really, really focus on, and that's the concept of replace yourself. I have a hard time getting dentists to see, like, they'll fight me on this. They're like, no, I've got to be the one. And especially my male dentist. My female dentists get it because I think of life situations that come up. But the male dentists are always against me about replacing yourself. So I love that you talked about replacing yourself is not about you necessarily making less. It's not about you losing control, but it's about creating flexibility for you to be able to focus on what's important to you right now, which is, yeah, you know, the process of making a family and being able to be a good mother and a good wife and a good boss and a good leader to your team and balance all of those things. And you can't do that if you're constantly in the chair 40 hours a week, 32 hours a week, and trying to juggle all of that stuff. You know, it's just a very interesting comment for me. So anything else from the mastermind that you want to point out that's been influential for you?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-annex fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Trying to think. I mean, block scheduling was a big one. What else I guess.
So let's talk real quick. Where are you at with firm financial arrangements? Another thing that we really talk about. Like, it's, you know, what's amazing is we take things for granted 2 years in to where we were before. You know, how does this work? Where's the team at? I bring up firm financial arrangements because I think it was probably something that was a little bit harder for you because you had a very tenured team member in the practice that may not have gone along as quickly with this as you would have liked.
Yeah. So I actually, before I went to the mastermind, I heard your podcast on that. So I like Googled that form. I found it. And so I tried to implement it, but going through the mastermind, you made it a lot more streamlined and easy for us to implement it. So that helped. And I did have a little pushback because that was actually, this is a very good point. That was where I had a lot of pushback from my dad. Yeah. Because we offered care credit, but we didn't offer in-house financing because the old adage, as many docs had said, is I'm not the bank. But I'd always be like, well, why? I mean, I'm not trying to be the bank. I'm within reason. And when I explained to my dad, the deposit will cover the lab fee. So we'll just put the deposit in a separate bank account for lab fees. And then everything else, like, so we'll be covered if we actually get screwed over by something. But we haven't been screwed over by anything. And now he's even telling patients, well, we have payment plans in the office for that. I'm like, I'm so proud of you, Dad. Yeah. But that was more pushback from my dad more than anybody because COVID hit right after the mastermind started, and I lost a lot of the older team members because they retired. And so when I brought the newer team members in, they didn't know any different. So kind of that helped.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the financial arrangements, because I think part of doing more of the dentistry you want to do is making it easier for patients to say yes on the money side of things. Certainly that plays a role. But I'm glad you brought this next thing up. Let's talk about something that we're all, including me, we're all struggling with right now. And for you, I know this has been an evolution. How many team members did you have when you walked into the practice? How many team members do you have today? How many of those are the original team members? And let's walk through some of the challenges that you faced, even pre-COVID, even during early COVID. And now we're just facing a big challenge of just finding any willing human being. It's like human beings have left the earth.
Yeah.
Talk to us about some of the team challenges that you've dealt with over the last few years.
We're actually pretty close to the same number that from when I started the practice to where we are now, except we're one less. Mm-hmm. So we're currently.
I want to interrupt for 1 second, okay? Because I want to make a good point here. Your revenue has gone up 70%, 60 to 70% from when you walked into the office, and you're one less team member than when you came in.
Yeah.
I mean, and so to me, and would you say that you guys are busier, or you guys more chaotic now, or less chaotic now?
Definitely less chaotic, but it's
controlled chaos.
It's more controlled, and it's the flow is better, and it's more like a well-oiled machine. There's still things that have to get sorted out, but before it was just chaotic, and we would just get frustrated, like, why is the schedule empty or not? It was just like, you just wanted to fill things before. And then with the priority scheduling, we changed that, and it's made it a lot easier. But the team members have also been just more streamlined. The roles have been defined better. There's less confusion, even amongst employees.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to reemphasize that point. The point is, your revenue's gone up 60%. Now, certainly, look, when you add another provider, it should go up a certain amount. But what's amazing to me is the revenue has gone up, you have one less team member, and you're less busy, and it's not as chaotic. And to me, that is the definition of the mastermind, what my goal is. Whether it's a mastermind, it's what I stand for, okay? It's make the practice what you want it to be. The schedule you want, the dollar amount you want, the income you want, the time you want. It does not have to be roller skates. It does not have to be chaotic. It does not have to be busy. And you said this, you know, and this is a saying for me right now. I really want to focus on busyness does not equal business. Okay. You cannot substitute busyness for business. So what kind of challenges are you facing right now with team members? Because I can tell you all kinds of challenges I'm facing with trying to get team members, because I assume you probably need a few more team members as you continue to grow.
Yeah. And I just wanted to also mention too, we went from like 1.1 to 1.7, and my dad decided he's not full time anymore. So he went down. So we lost production or doctor days. But back to your question, so we have three remaining team members out of that 11.
Wow.
So, I don't count my dad, but that should be in there. So.
He's nothing. He's not that important.
he's loving life, you know. He gets to go to Florida and Vermont.
I think he does some skiing a lot now, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why in January, I don't think he's going to be here, at least for the first 4 months of the year. He'll be in Vermont.
At her mountain house that she invited me to before I met her.
Yes, that's right. You can still come.
She texted the wrong address. I was like, yes, I'll be there.
Sure, I'll be there. I don't know you. But.
Yeah.
But no, the struggles are just with the different personalities. I think this is also my fear, is that I loved the camaraderie that my dad's practice had. Everybody was like, they just knew you so well. People would always refer to it as cheers. Like everybody knows your name sort of thing. And I never want to lose that in the practice. I want that mentality of the patient is always first. That's what drives me with everything. So all the inefficiencies that are getting fixed puts the patients first for me. But with some of the new team members, there's just some tensions on how it used to be done versus how it is done. But I think people are starting to fall in line a little bit. I'm actually, the last 3 weeks have been a big turning point, which has been great. There's been no changes. I haven't let anybody go or I've changed people's roles. So that's helped, I think, even the playing field on like respecting each other more and having more open lines of communication. But one of the other things was just the mastermind taught me to make sure I have meetings with people regularly. And that's something that we have a team meeting monthly. And then probably weekly, I talk to everybody at least like for a little bit.
And you, when you say everybody, you talk to everybody individually.
Individually and some of them together. So the ones that might have some issues with each other, I have tried to facilitate a little bit so I could get out of the drama. And that I think has helped. So,
yeah, you know, what Caroline's talking about there is an area that we focus on is creating a culture. And we don't try to define what your culture is. Like, and I mean this with complete respect. My wife's practice, their culture is a little bit more chaotic than works for me. Granted, she's a psychiatrist, and you never know what challenge somebody's walking in with and what it's going to bring. Like yesterday, they had to call the police, and that took like 3 hours and all of that stuff.
And they were still seeing patients around that, too. And so, you know, the day still goes on.
You know, so, but I want everybody to develop a culture. And to me, the number one tip to develop a culture, to disseminate your culture, and I want everybody to listen to what Caroline said. Caroline said her culture. What's important to her is that the patient is first. And there's no universal definition of what that means. The definition is what Caroline thinks it means because it's her practice. Her name's on the door. And the easiest way to disseminate culture is to insist on conversations and communication with team members on a regular basis. I know we made a big deal about practice culture, about spending time with everybody. Can you give us one example of where that was really helpful, something you may have learned about a team member or from a team member that kind of, you know, maybe that you did something with that?
Yeah, it was an assistant, a newer assistant of mine. And, you know, sometimes I encourage everybody to be super honest with me because I also want them to know that I can grow as a dentist as well and a boss, and that matters to me. So I made it comfortable for her to tell me her honest opinion of how things were going. And she told me that she just was like, sometimes you get really intense and you need to like slow down. And I'm like, I appreciate that. And like ever since then, we've been slowing down in our procedures and, you know, less things are getting dropped. Certain things, it's just, I'm not grabbing things off the tray as much, but that's helped so much. And the fact that, and then she came to me later and really thanked me for that and appreciated that I'm trying to like slow down, because she basically wanted me to just tell her, I mean, she wanted me to just keep doing the dentistry I want to do, but use her help more.
Yeah.
And that was a great interaction. And I told her, I'm like, you've made me a better dentist. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, not only did she make you a better dentist, more importantly, she helped you become a better leader. And you have created a bond between you and that assistant that she knows, he or she knows, that's she in this case, she knows that you've got her back. You've encouraged this behavior, and it's a behavior we want, okay? I want my team members, like Whitney, she tells me when I get hybrids going, I got into this role where it was a race. I needed to get done in an hour and a half. And it became this race to where I started getting a little bit sloppy. Okay, I would drop instruments, or I would, you know, break teeth and things like that. And so she said, I just need you to slow down, be a little bit more deliberate in the taking out teeth part. Okay, stop being so barbaric. And basically what she said to me. You know, and what happens is you encourage a behavior because your team members truly, they have your patient's interest at heart. And selfishly, if you make the changes thereafter, a lot of times when it comes to clinical work, it's only going to improve the clinical outcomes you're getting and your patient experience. And I love that you did that. And that's such a great example of the importance. So if for our listeners that aren't doing these random or organized meetings with individual team members, what does one typically look like and how does it happen in your office?
Right now it's more of me starting them. So I want it to change where they come to me, but I don't really have time where I have downtime. So but right now when I see that, you know, between patients and the patient's late, I'll just like, you know, pop over to an assistant, I'm like, hey, how's it going? And it's more personal. I've built a relationship with the assistants, but I just walk up to people and I check in with them and I'm like, hey, how's everything going? How's the flow? How's this handoff that we're talking about? Like, I'll bring stuff up and they'll either open up to me or they just answer me. And then for the ones that, I mean, at lunchtime even, I'll go eat lunch with them. And I'll just ask the more shy ones. I'll just be like, try to ask them more inquisitive things about, like, you know, are you going to go on a trip? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to really give you a concrete answer on that. It's just the flow of genuinely caring about the people that are working here. So I don't want to be in an environment where I don't like the people I work with. So I want to get to know them. And if it's going to continually be, if it would be uncomfortable, they probably wouldn't stay.
Yeah, no. And I think you described it perfectly. There's no prescription to how you do this.
And you're giving them the opportunity to open up.
The prescription is you do more listening. Your job as a leader is to encourage conversation, to be a conduit, to get people talking. Okay. And then you ask curious questions. Like, what do you mean things are going good? What do you mean things aren't going good? Tell me why you're taking the trip, or why aren't you taking a trip? You know, I want to know, why aren't people taking trips, or why aren't people doing things, or why are they, you know, struggling, or this and that? You know, I want to know these things, because it's important to know these things. And to me, that's what culture is. Culture is knowing your people. Because remember this, the number one product we have in every practice is your people. That is the only differentiator we have in dentistry. It's the people. Ultimately, they can go anywhere and get a hybrid. They can go anywhere and get a CEREC. They can go many places and get XYZ. But people are choosing you because of the people. They can go somewhere else and get MetLife taken or Delta Dental taken or whatever it is. They're choosing you because of the people. And we have to invest culturally in our people. We've got to get to know them. We got to understand what's happening. And yes, the goal is to get them to come sit next to you and start these conversations, but we can't wait for success. We've got to get out there and help encourage the success. So you walking around and doing these conversations is going to create a natural conduit to team members being comfortable and doing it on your own. And I love that you're doing lunch with people. And I would encourage you to maybe schedule some lunchtime with, you know, maybe departments of people, maybe every other month or so, just so that you can get some time with people, you know, formally to do that. So that's fantastic. Yeah. That's amazing. So what's next for you, Caroline? What are your biggest challenges, and you know, what do you see yourself trying to accomplish in the next year or two?
Oh, there's always so much to do. Well, this year was a big year for, you know, starting sinus lifts and 3D printing. Mm-hmm. So I'm there, which is fun. So I'm starting to do more of that. But next year, probably just like increasing the number of sinus lifts I'm doing, and I don't, you know, this is the first year like going into it that I don't have as much of a concrete plan, because I really want to have a baby. Yeah. And that's
a plan, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a dental focused one, but the dental business will take a toll on that. And I want to make sure that I'm like not stressed out, and I have a good plan to like have an associate come in and a good mentorship still there prior to me having a baby. So,
yeah, you know, it's that brings up a point that we talk about, and I want to kind of harpen back to the original part of the mastermind when you were there with us. Is we talk about the first step is slowing down to speed up, and oftentimes people think of, you know, that we feel that we got to constantly grow, that growth is this line that's constantly moving up. And sometimes growth has to have plateaus. Sometimes growth has to slow down. And I think 2022 is going to be should be a slowdown year for you. That doesn't mean that you go backwards. It just means that maybe the growth, you know, the economic growth kind of takes a back seat to planting seeds and putting things in place to make 2023-24 the banner year. Because the next step for you, because to a certain degree, you're reaching capacity of your capabilities based on where you're at in your career. The next step for growth really involves, as you mentioned earlier, getting a replacement for your dad, you know, which is in theory adding an additional provider, because your dad's, you know, part-time at best, you know. Yeah. So to bring in an associate and do it right and to maintain that culture, you've got to be available. You've got to instill that culture into them. So I want to make the point that slowing down to speed up is not a one-time thing. Each growth spurt for me has involved slowing down to speed up and fine-tuning some of these basic things. Your schedule, you're going to have to update your schedule based on trying to have a baby, having a baby, bringing in another dentist. You know, you're going to have to put ads out for another dentist. You're going to have to go, shopping in a sense and try on some different things to see if you find the right associate and the right partner. And you're going to have ups and downs with that.
That's kind of where my wall is that I wanted to ask you about, because I put an ad out and then I got really busy and I interviewed two people. It was, they were good interviews, but I just got busy and didn't hire them. And now I've got to put another ad out because I just let that one fade away. I have to make myself time to like devote to it, because before you know it, I'm going to be like behind. So. Yeah.
So let's back up on that. Let's go back through some of the early parts of the mastermind. One of the most important things we do is we do a goal setting exercise. And part of goal setting, like a goal for you right now, is to hire an associate, right? And now we need to reverse engineer the process of hiring an associate, okay? And all the steps that are involved. And so an example for me. So recently, I need to redo our website for 3D Dentists, right? So I've got this goal. I want to get this website launched. And so what I did that's helped holding me accountable is I broke it down. Step one is I need to get the design done. I've got X time to get the design done. Step two is I need to find somebody that can take the design and make it into a website. I've got X time to find the person that's going to do that. And then I've got to have X time for that person to actually do it, do the revisions and all of that. So then I've got a goal of that date. And I put each of these things in my calendar and I share it with my team members so that they're aware of it, so they can hold me accountable. Hey, by the way, this week you have to have this person picked out and hired that's going to do this. So I would do that with an associate. I would say the step one is you got to define what an associate is. Okay, so put a deadline in your calendar of what a good associate looks like, having that written out, not just in your mind, written out so that your team members can see it, your ad can see it, everybody can see it. What is a good associate in your practice? What are you looking for? Ideally, best practice, and what is your minimum level of standard that you're willing to accept? And so those are the things I would look at. The second step is I got to get my ad out and put out there. The third step is I've got to get interviews done by X date, or I got to get interviews going. The fourth step is I've got to get a contract put together and put deadlines on each of these. So it's not this thing that's just kind of out there, but instead it's on your calendar. And this, this has worked for you already, as you've seen through the mastermind. What doesn't get scheduled doesn't get done. What's not important to you doesn't happen. So I need you to make getting an associate more important to you. And it needs to be more important even at the cost of doing some other things, because in the big picture, getting an associate is going to propel you to getting more of what you want in your life. Being a baby, not you being a baby. We know daddy's created a princess there, okay? But getting a baby, making a baby, and doing more of the dentistry you want to do, those two things right there don't happen for you until you get an associate. And the right associate. So it has to become the number one priority for you, even at the expense of some of these other things that you that are more important long-term. They have to take a slight back seat to the short-term goal, which is identifying, finding, and installing the right associate / partner for your practice.
Yeah. I think the only, I can do all of that stuff. I think my big holdup is the fact that I'm scared of bringing an associate, because we have such a family-oriented practice based off of Dad and I's relationship. And that goes into, I know you want to talk a little bit about marketing, but that's why I do all my social media stuff, because I want people to see our relationship. I want them to see the practice they're coming into, because it's easier for patients to feel comfortable. If I bring somebody else that's outside the family, I just have to find the right person.
Caroline, are you the youngest, oldest, middle person? What are you in your family?
I'm the youngest.
Youngest. So what if your dad took that approach to having you? We don't want to bring another baby into our little family here, because who knows what she's going to be like, right?
Well, I think Sully should talk to him about that, because they've now brought in two associates. Yeah. And I think he consulted you before hiring, and that was one of his fears too, was, well, they're not family. This is called, you know, our last name.
And his case is, it's four generations of Sullivans have been in that practice.
All men, and he brought women. He brought in women.
Brown woman.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he couldn't have hired any more opposite, and really, your patients trust you, so, and they trust their team, right? So the best thing they can do is reassure the patient, you know, you're going to see Dr. So-and-so today. You're in great hands.
Yeah. So yeah. don't be afraid. Look, it's important to get where you want to get to. Okay. And you, I'm going to tell you this from very good experience. You're going to make mistakes in who you hire. It is just part of the process. Okay.
Okay.
You're going to make mistakes. Okay. There's going to be some, you may get lucky and get the perfect fit, but if you wait for perfect, you will never have action. It just, the likelihood of you having action is there. So take some experiments, okay? Take advantage of your dad being slightly more available than you are, for him to instill the culture while he's still there with you, and before he gets stuck in Vermont or stuck in Florida or gets out of there. Take advantage of the time you've got now to really make that happen. And just take risks, okay? You're most positioned to take... Imagine if you wait till you get pregnant and then get serious about an associate.
I know.
You'll be miserable.
Yeah, it's not...
It won't be possible.
You're gonna make less than ideal... You're going to make less than ideal decisions. I'd rather have you make a mistake today than have you make a mistake while you're pregnant, okay? Because... So today is... The best time is now. Okay, you can always undo some of these decisions, especially when it comes to hiring and firing the right associate, not the right associate. The best time is now, okay? Worst case scenario, you try now. You're like, okay, this didn't work after 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is. Try again. Keep trying, okay? It's no different. That's like saying we're only going to try once to make a baby, and if it doesn't happen that one time, we're not going to try again, right? It's no different. You know, you keep trying. So you brought up another thing, and I definitely want to talk about this. I love your marketing. You know, talk to us about your social media marketing, what you do, who's the brainchild behind that. Do you have a professional company? Do you do it yourself? Where people can see examples of it? Because I think it's very well done. I think it's very, very, very well done. And I think it's on mark for the culture you're trying to create. So talk to us about that.
Well, the reason originally I wanted to do it is what I just said before, is I wanted the patients that see it to get to know the feel of the practice, to see the interactions I have with my team members, with my father, so that they know they're coming to a place that will treat them like family. Because that's our culture and what I want to instill in the patients that come here. So I am mainly on Instagram. I have some Facebook too, but it's,
you know,
it's
old people, we old people can spend money with you too. You know, it's not just for the gram.
No, I know. It's definitely on both. But yeah, so I actually was doing it myself for about a year, and it's just, that's a lot of work. I try to post 3 times a week. It's not easy to do it by yourself. So one of my good friends is a physical therapist. I went to high school with him, and one of his college buddies does content marketing for Instagram. And so I talked to him. I'm like, hey, can you like do my content marketing for me? And so his name is Nick Franklin, and Nick came, and he comes once a month, and we just do content all day. Now, if I have patients, we do it between patients, and then he'll just like kind of figure out whatever he needs to do. And we obviously, if we're going to talk to a patient, let them know that they're, you know, could be on Instagram. If they don't want to be, they let us know. But we also do it on days that nobody's here and it's just me. And I don't know. He has a list for me. I have a list.
What are some of the things on the list? Because a lot of people get stuck at the what, like, oh my God, do I just do boomerangs and my legs moving around, or you know, what's on the list?
When we started, it was a lot of National Hot Dog Day, National whatever. And I was like, this is not what I want to be doing. So then I had to take over the list a little bit more. But it was stuff that kind of what I've learned from you guys. Like, what do you want to do more of? So I want to do more implants. I want to try to break through with sleep. And those are things that I'll start talking about. And Nick has talked to me specifically. And he's like, just have a stream of consciousness and I'll edit it. I'm like, okay. And so then I just start talking about stuff I love, and I could talk about dentistry forever. So he just like records, and then sometimes we repeat things, but you know, we definitely do the basic stuff like how to floss, like those things to as filler content. So you have different types of categories. You have filler content, you have still photos, you have videos, and then you have the stuff you want to focus on. So I probably should get a little bit more strict on what those categories are and how much content I want in each, but Nick's been doing a pretty good job. So if I wanted to do more implants, for example, we would focus on mainly that as the content. And we'd do a still, we do a video, and then we do some filler of just, you know, an implant is a titanium screw, like something like that, you know, and also Google reviews will go on there as well.
One thing I've loved about your social media is it's always focused on the people. Like it's either you, your team member. It's not just this picture of floss, right? It's always about a person because, and that's the vibe you give off. Like, hey, this place is about the people. It's not about the product. I mean, it's not about like the procedure. It's about the people. And so it's a lot of you, like I've seen you do push-ups on there. Like, I don't know what push-ups are. You know, I'm not familiar with.
That's some great content ideas for us for you. We're going to have you do some push-ups.
I don't think people
nope,
want to see.
No, that's what they want to see. That is what they sent me a message.
Well, it's not even so much what they want to see. It's that they want to see that you're a real person and that you're not just this like person behind a mask with a handpiece in your hand. They want to know that you can relate to them so that you're more empathetic when they're being taken care of. And that's what people, at least the people, I mean, the craziest stuff is when people come in, I'm like, I saw you on Instagram. My dad's like, you might want to take this new patient.
Clearly they didn't see him on Instagram, right? Or they may have seen him, but clearly he wasn't behind it.
Right. He wasn't doing the push-ups. But.
Yeah. So why isn't your dad doing push-ups? See, I don't have to do push-ups.
You're not her dad's age.
Sure, I'm his. I'm mentally that age.
Like that's the problem. We're trying to get you those push-ups that might help.
I'm physically that age.
So I'll mix some like random content like that in there too, just so that you know you can still see that I'm real. And you know, eventually when I put stuff with baby stuff, I'll put baby stuff up there too.
What has been the outcome of doing some of this marketing? What have you seen? What has it done for your practice? You know, from a quote-unquote ROI, what has it done from that perspective for you?
It's more brand awareness in the community, for sure. People kind of, I mean, I've gotten stopped in the grocery store before, which is funny. I'm like, okay, this is weird. But that's all I meant to do was just get our name out there. I will post more of my full mouth rehabs on there as well for some of the content. And then some more patients will come and ask me, hey, I saw this on Instagram. But I wasn't getting a ton of that at first. Then I put the TV screens up in all the operatories.
But where did that idea come from?
I don't know. Maybe you. But so I would take my content from Instagram and I would put it on my TV screens. That was already pre-done. And so it was... The more you can get your brand out there consistently, the better. And so I don't have a specific number on ROI, but we used to, with my dad before I came in, we spent so much money on brochures. And I cut that budget completely out. And all I'm doing is some redirect marketing on Facebook. You know, like if you go onto our website and then you go to Amazon, our ad will pop up on the side. That's what redirect is. And then what else?
You know, that's when I think Amazon is listening to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it could be listening to you too.
But, it probably is.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just brand awareness right now. But the fact that I'm getting patients, like I had an older gentleman that said, I can't believe I would go to a dentist I met on Facebook, but you guys are just great. I'm like, thanks. Like, and that makes me feel good more than it makes me feel happy that I'm doing social media. I'm just not spending as much on marketing now.
Yeah. You know, and I love all the things you just said there. I know you said you don't have a formula. You don't have, number one, it tells me that you're not in survival mode where you need the marketing to just, it has to work. It has to do this. It has to do that. And marketing is about, to me, first and foremost, social media marketing is about creating the culture in the practice you want, the patient culture. In other words, bringing in patients that are like you because people buy from people. If you're, it look, as if you're a stiff and very formal, Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need people like that. Okay. We need not fun people out there. So if you're stiff and very formal, I want you to be stiff and formal on your social media, because that way you will attract stiff and formal people to your practice, because, and you'll be happier for it. You know, I'm a fun-loving guy, generally speaking, and I want that. I want to be real. I want my patients to see that I get angry sometimes, or that I lose my temper. I want them to see that, because that's who I am, because I want to be able to lose my temper at people and then be okay with it, you know?
No.
No, but it's, social media marketing is about creating your culture. Yes, there should be some tangible ROI on it at some point in time. I also love that you said that you didn't see that right away, and your consistency equals effectiveness when it comes to social media marketing. And for me, the big takeaway is just put yourself in front of the camera that you carry around in your pocket, and just talk to it. Just tell people what you're about, who you are, what you want to be, what you want to do more of. I would tell you to stop, like you said, stop doing the hot dog campaigns, stop doing the flossing campaigns. Not, you know, you're not interested in more people that need to floss. You know, you're actually interested in people that don't floss, because you want to do more implants, okay? So start doing, listen, if you're not a flosser, that's okay. We want you in our practice. And you'll suddenly start having patients practice for
people.
I might
steal that.
Yeah, like seriously, just, they say you are what you eat. Now, clearly I eat a lot of ice cream, so I'm basically a walking ice cream tub. But
well, that's how you want to look at it.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. You know, you are what you eat, and your practice becomes what you tell people you are. And if you tell people are that you're a dots that do different things, line items, if you put your marketing out there that you're a $99 new patient special, that's the kind of patients you get. If you get out there and put, hey, we're a fun office that focuses on doing great work and maintaining a great culture, that's what you are. If you put out there, hey, we're a great office with wonderful people that have great stories behind them, you're going to attract people that like that. If you get out there and say, hey, we love taxing people and doing all of that, or you're going to get people like that. You know, you attract what you tell people you are. And that's my point. Your marketing tells me who you are, and love it or hate it, it's clear to me whether or not I would want to be your patient in your practice based on your marketing. And that's what's important.
Thanks.
Last question, Caroline. I know it's been a little bit a while. What advice would you give for somebody that was in your shoes a couple of 3 years ago? What advice would you tell people that say, you know what, I want to get on a journey to do more of the dentistry I like, or not have my practice control me, and instead have more say into my professional career? What would you tell somebody?
Definitely take more CE. You can take it. I mean, I've taken online CE, and that's great. But going and finding a group that you want to be, that resonates with you. You guys resonated with me. So I went to your retreats, and I went to the mastermind because I connected to you guys. I don't think if somebody was like a stiff that they would necessarily think this was the best place. You have to be able to take some constructive criticism and learn from it, and also have fun while you're doing it. But CE has continually, investing in it has continually been the biggest thing for me, because I end up making more money after every course because I implement it. You can't just go to CE and then never do anything with it. You have to go to the CE and implement it. And, you know, the great thing about you guys is that you make it very easy to implement it after we come to you. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for that, Caroline. And on the last note, I said the last note. I want you to tell everybody your new designated position at 3D Dentists.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm like, what is it called? Social chair?
Social chair.
Rush. This is 3D Rush. So, it's like Bama Rush talk.
Caroline, when you did the mastermind, we stayed at my house, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Your house. Yes.
My house. Yeah. Not the retreat. My actual house. Right. What was your experience like at the retreat? What was that? 3 months ago, 4 months ago, when you came for a whole week in June, I think it was.
Yeah.
So I come from a big soccer background. And so when we would go away to big soccer tournaments, you're just with all the girls, and it's just fun too. Like, you go work hard and then you get to hang out with all your friends. That was very similar. I felt like I was going to a dental boot camp when I went to the retreat, which was fun. And you got to hang out at night. We got to talk dentistry. You know, I mean, my husband does not want to hear about dentistry anymore, so it was great to just keep talking about it all night long. And
play
then
games.
Learn. Yeah, play games. You know.
Like, what kind of games did you have us play, Caroline?
It was one of my friends taught it to me. It was musical flip cup. Great game.
I was going to say, we made up rules as we went.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. You're just supposed to have fun, and you can't take yourself too seriously. So,
well, Caroline, I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of the progress that you're making. I hope this isn't the end of the journey for you. I hope it just continues to grow. And for me, I love that the Mastermind has been influential in your career. And that's what I love about the Mastermind. It's not about, hey, it's not this six-month program. I mean, you did this almost 2 years ago, and yet we're still in contact with each other. And yes, we're still, yet we're still supporting each other. And to me, that's what's important. It's about, it's not like there's a, like people ask me, what do you learn in the Mastermind? Like, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you learn what you want to learn out of it. You know, we're going to instill we're going to instill processes and things that are going to help you move forward in your career. And then we're going to support you to help you envision your goals. And that's what's been super important. So I want to and I also want to thank your dad. You know, I think a big part of your success is that he has just, you know, for the most part, gotten out of the way. He's still been a dad. He still had to come in and say, hey, okay, all right, little girl. We're not gonna, you know, my daughter.
He'll slow
me
down.
Yeah, he'll slow you down. And we need that wisdom at times. And there are times where I have to be that for some of our masterminders, you know, current and past and present. And I have to say, let's slow down a little bit. It's because it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, this is a 20, 30, 40-year career for you. You know, doing this one thing for this 1-2 months doesn't necessarily make or break us. Let's focus on what's important. So congratulations, continued success. I love, love, love your energy. And I wish you the best of luck on getting a baby. And I wish your husband the best of luck on getting to make the baby and all of that.
Awesome.
Thank you guys very much for tuning in. If you could leave us a review, we'd love to talk to you. And if you have some things you want to talk about on the podcast, just send us a note, DM us, and let us know what you want to hear about, and we'll be happy to do that. So until next week, we'll see you back.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.